Penny Penny Arcade. 1, 2, 3, 4. Hello, hello, and welcome to the Paisley Penny Arcade. I am Mo, and I'm on this week. That's a nice thing. I wasn't on last week. I tried to get on, and I was the music came on, and I couldn't. My microphone wouldn't work, although it was working. It was actually in a tip-top shape, but something else was happening. And so I realized that there were forces at work that I could not control. And with the way the glitchiness of the YouTube system is that I wouldn't be able to just hop back off and hop back on. And so I said, I just kind of tossed in the towel. So that was that. And I said, okay, that was that. But I'm glad to be here. Today is Wednesday, the 29th of October, 2025. The 29th of October, 2 days to Halloween. And, you know, got Samhain coming up soon. Real soon. Actually, it will be about a week from tomorrow, at sundown. We're going to talk about that because I feel that what happened last week, this is where I get to show you how crazy I am. Maybe crazy, maybe you won't think quite so crazy. But some things have been happening to me, and they have. And a lot of it has to do with what happened last week. And we're going to talk about Halloween. That's Oogie Boogie. Right here, Oogie Boogie. This happens to be a Yahtzee set that I picked up years ago. And inside are the Oogie Boogie dice, 5 of them. I love those dice. They're skulls and so on. But I like this a lot. So I like Oogie Boogie. What can I say? From Nightmare on, not the Nightmare Before Christmas. Is that what it's called? I don't know. It's I've seen it. I enjoyed it. Of course, that was 30-some years ago. But the whole idea is that Halloween, Samhain. It's that so spooky. Well, hello, Lisa. You made it. Welcome. I'm glad you made it, and I'm glad I made it. Who am I speaking to? Spirits? No. I'm speaking to the YouTube chat room. And if you'd like to speak to me, you should come on in. Come on to the YouTube chat room and have a chat with me. I'd love to talk to you, and I will talk to you if you have something you'd like to ask me about the subject I'm talking about today. Ask me. I keep a fairly close eye on it, and you can ask me a question about it, and I will ask you the question back. That's not what I mean. I will talk to you about it. I'm going to ask you the question, but what do you mean by that question? I'm going to grill you on it. And I'm set it up to where those of you listening in the future, you'll be able to see the questions that people asked me. That's very slick. I didn't know about that. I'd like to thank my my friend Mark Husson, friend, mother from another brother. No, that's not how it goes. Brother from another mother, who helped me with some of my lighting problems I was having. Issues. Because he knows all that stuff, and I think I look better, not quite as washed out as I did, or not quite as saturated, or polyunsaturated, as it were. Thank you, Mark, for all your help. I took all that into account. I was supposed to have my window open, but I saw someone peering in, and I didn't like that, you know, especially since I'm naked from the waist down. I'm not. Dream on. Anyway, so here's what's going on. Samhain, let me explain a few things first, and then I'll tell you what's going on. Last week I was going to talk about ghosts. The ghosts that I've experienced in my life have had some run-ins. One when I was 6 years old, and it scared the crap out of me. Not literally, but certainly could have, I suppose. But it was terrifying, and I lived in a haunted house. The house was, in fact, haunted, because that's kind of the definition of, if you live in a house that is that has ghosts in it. It had more than one. It had two. I think there may have been three, but I certainly know of two specifically. And I was going to tell that story and talk about a couple of other things. Now, one of the things I was going to speak about is a friend of mine who passed last year. And I was going to be kind of specific about all that. And I could tell that friend of mine didn't necessarily want me to talk about his situation. And so I think, this is just me, there were some things that happened. I'm going to tell you about those things that happened. And because of those, he's been kind of making himself known to me. And I was going to talk. And what happened was, it got time to come on the air, and I came on the air, and I couldn't talk. I could not speak because I could not be heard. There was nothing for me to hear, you know, to talk to you about. I'm trying to straighten out my beard here. It's always annoying, isn't it? But anyway, so there was no voice. And I this is one of the ways that other entities from the other side can make themselves known. Have you heard of EMP? No, EVP. EVP, electronic voice. Phenomenon. I've used it before. There's some programs you can get. And I was very incredulous in the beginning, to be honest with you. I thought, oh, this is so much fol de rol. Quelly, welcome. Halloween blessings to you as well. Yeah, day after tomorrow, Halloween. I was like, oh, I don't know about this. And indeed, I was quite stunned at some of the things that happened. Now, let's talk about this. So anyway, let me get back to my friend. So what happened was I inadvertently called him. Didn't pick up a phone or anything, but I was kind of bummed out because I miss him. I miss him quite a bit. And so I did call upon him rather loudly and insistently, and have felt him strongly since that happened. And now, let's explain a few things there. You can call upon people. This is what, of course, seances are about, if you believe in such things. And I'm not a medium. I don't want to be a medium. I wouldn't be a medium. I don't like that sort of thing because I don't like the idea of turning myself over to anything. When I was young, and I mean young, very young, I engaged in such things because it seemed kind of cool. You can see the Ouija boards up on the wall behind me. None of those were the ones I used when I was a kid. But when I was a kid, and I mean a kid, I went and bought myself a Ouija board. It was so unpopular that I had to ride my bike to the local store to get one. And they didn't want to sell it to me because they thought that that was probably kind of improper. I mean, we're talking, I was 9, maybe 10 years old. That's how interested I was in those things back in the day. And I had read books on it in the library. I had to sit in the section because I wasn't old enough to check them out. That's how weird a kid I was. Anyway, I'm just not into it. Let's just stop right there. But I did call, and when you call, and if you are close to someone, they may hang around. Now, the point of that is to say, How do I put this? That they can sometimes have sway over our world a little bit. Not a whole lot, unless they, some can, but they can do some things. I have a picture of my friend right here from when he was a young man. He did some kind of big things in his day, and there's a picture of him when he was young, and he happens to be talking to a microphone. I just put that together. Ha, isn't that interesting? Things like that have some influence. That's fascinating. I hadn't put that together till just right now. Now, don't you dare cut off my microphone. You see, that's how you may think me kind of weird, but these things can happen. So the idea here is that there's a song he liked. I liked it too, but he liked it more. And I had it on my list of Spotify songs, you see. And so I'd be driving along, and it wasn't a popular song. I didn't have it on my I Want to Hear This a Lot song. And suddenly it would come on, and I'd say, oh, man, I don't want to hear this right now. And I'd try and change it, and it wouldn't change. It wouldn't change. It just, I'd say, okay, let me change this. I don't want to, change this. I don't want to say the magic words because it'll come up and, you know, the magic name. So-and-so, change this song. And it would say, I can't do that. You know, can't do that. And I said, what do you mean you can't do that? Sometimes it was like, there's no signal here, I can't put anything else on. And it's like, that doesn't make sense to me. And if you know anything about the tech world, I don't know anything about the tech world, but I know enough to know that that just didn't make sense to me. That doesn't make sense. That happened several times. Instead of playing once every, because I have a playlist that's 7.5 days long. It's almost 8 days long. And this song would come up a lot. And I'd finally say, you know, I understand you like this song, but I'm not that fond of it, you know. So can we just move on? And there's no fear here in this. I got my fear out of the way when I was 6, you know. I really did. I got it out of the way back then. It was just, I don't want any more of that. Fear is not necessary. And it's kind of amazing, but electronic equipment, for some reason, I think probably because I don't believe in the supernatural. I believe in the natural. Everything is natural. So it must be that on some level, there is a very natural explanation, and that is that part of what they do is electrical. That's all I can figure. And that it must be kind of either necessary or fun. Maybe he's just kind of, he used to be quite a prankster in his day. Not to me so much, but now maybe they're pranking going, I don't know. But there's no fear involved. As a matter of fact, there have been almost got into an accident yesterday. And it was a very lucky thing that it did not happen. And I thought, well, maybe that's, you know, who knows. It wasn't me. I wasn't at fault, but there was another person and then another person. It was a 3-car thing. And I was thinking, oof. And it may have, he might have, no one had anything to do with it other than it was a lucky not accident. But the point is that because we're so close to Samhain, Samhain, right? Pronounced Samhain. One of the peculiarities of the Celtic language, we're very close, and it's going to be, like I said, it's a solar holiday. It's not a lunar or a calendrical holiday. It's a solar holiday, and it will be on the 6th, I believe, yeah, at sunset, and will go until the 7th of November at sunset. And it is based upon that solar expanse of time. It's when the veil is very thin. And so we just have to be aware of what's going on. And it's a good time to communicate. It's a good time, and it's certainly not a time for fear. And it bothers me that Halloween has become this big fear thing. I saw a thing on Facebook for a haunted house, you know, one of these haunted houses. And it looked ridiculous. I mean, there's demons and I mean, very well acted, you know, there's people in these costumes and they're all very, you know, they're young and they're made up and people with chainsaws and hatchets and that's more lunatic asylum stuff. And I think maybe that where they were going for that. But the floors are, you know, icky and it looked more like a diarrhea ward somewhere than it did anything else, you know? It was disgusting. And I thought, that's not what Halloween is about. It's supposed to be, anyway. That's not what Dias de los Muertos is about, which is really more in line with this idea of the celebration of those who have gone before. Let's face it, it's somewhere that eventually we're all going to end up, which is on this, if there is anything, I mean, I'm just, you know, being very honest. I mean, what if, I mean, I have not a clue of what's there or what's going to happen or, you know, I'd be, you know, telling a fib if I said I had any idea, because I really don't. I don't have a real clue as to what's going on. No, I don't, but I've got ideas based upon the ancient ideas that ancestors had. My ancestors, the ancient Egyptians, had some ideas about what happens. And one of the things that they did believe in was the reanimation of the mummy, with the ka. The ka could come back in, sit in there, and come back. And so that seems to be one of the, you know, but I don't know if that's even possible or true, or who cares? What it was about is about this thought of the spirits who have passed. And so let's talk about the problem I had. So I know my friend, I was talking to a friend of mine, FaceTiming, guy I've known for over 50 years. And we talk a couple times a month if we can work it out. And we just talk about what's going on in our lives because we've known each other a long time. We love each other very much. He's a great guy, you know. He's got his life, a very professional life, you know, and people would probably freak out if they knew that he knows me. You know, because I'm this kind of wacko guy. I know him a long time before he met his wife, and I was this long-haired hippie guy, you know, and whatever. Just a great guy. Psychologist, very esteemed, you know. And he didn't disavow me like my astronomical friend did. Literally disavowed me. I'm sorry, Mo, I can't know you because I'm a professor of astronomy. And I, you know, if you ever see this, I understand, old friend. And I still love you, even though you did that. I get it. I really think there was another reason. I don't know what it is, but anyway, so back to. So we're talking, and we're older, and so a lot of our friends have passed. It happens. And as I was talking about, we had a mutual friend who had passed, and we were talking about him. I heard this sound, and it was like someone talking or chewing beef jerky or something. And it was weird. And I hadn't heard it any other time in our entire conversation. And I didn't ask him if he was hearing it, but I kind of assumed he was, you know, because he kind of made a little face. I don't know if he heard it or not, but I could hear it. And then we talked about something else for a while. And then I talked about my friend, the one I was speaking about just a little bit earlier, and I heard it again. but in kind of a different tone. I thought, what is that? And I've come to the conclusion that it was them. And I've also come to the conclusion, and you're going to think, you know, it's fine, you can think me daft, there's no doubt, I probably am. I mean, I've lived and worked in this world of tarot and astrology and I Ching and the whole thing and everything that goes with it for my whole life. And you know, it's just one of those things. You just do it for so long, it becomes a part of you. And you realize how amazing it is. Anyway, I was going to say something, but, you know, just out. So, I'm not going to speak that much about it, other than to say that I believe, and I'm speaking about it today, because I believe our world belongs to the living, and that we should be able to live in our world without being censored by them. Yeah? I don't know if you agree. Now, in the chat room, Lisa, thank you. I have a loved one close to crossing the veil. I'm so sorry. So sorry. It's tough. It's tough. My parents have been gone for a very long time. My father for decades. And it's tough. And my mom's been gone for a long time, too. My friend was unexpected, you know. Well, just out of the blue. My friends, almost all my friends are gone. I'm very lucky to have a few friends left, you know, who mean a great deal to me. And that's a very important thing to remember, is how important the people in your life are to you, the people who are here. And of course, your pets, you know, they're really important. They're vital. I so want to believe, but I'm just not sure. I've never been sure about all that stuff. And I don't want to sit here and pretend or hyperbolize about it or just out and out pretend. I just don't like the pretense. I know there's something. There is some persistence of consciousness somehow because I have experienced it, you see. Let's talk about Samhain a bit, what it is. Now, the original concept of Celtic Samhain was one of, and it's been changed and told, the stories are told so many different ways. One of them was that, let's back it up a bit and talk about Heaven's Gates. Maybe you've heard the term Heaven's Gate. Heaven's Gate that was two of them. That's four, but two. One that delivered all the souls that were going to be born within a certain year. They would be delivered, and then they would be in waiting, and then they would be born. And then the other one, the other gate, would open to deliver or to receive all of the souls that had passed during a year. So there was one gate that opened, and all the souls would go like an elevator. And that happened on the summer solstice. So what we would call the Tropic of Cancer, Heaven's Gate. Doors open, everybody out. There you go, everybody into the elevator, and down it goes, and it lands on Earth, and everyone's there, and all these souls, and there's really not a hassle, right? Because everyone's waiting to be born. And if you think about it, you know, if you think about it, well, we don't worry about that. We have May Day in May 1st, Beltane, right? And then we have, you know, it's always, and things are blooming and things are growing and babies are being born and it's, you know, and they're crying, but they're happy, you know, they grow up. And then, but right around this time of year, it's very different. It's, we have this darkness because the sun is getting, you know, going down earlier and thing. And so it's a very different dynamic. And they're waiting. And so that heaven's gate opens on, and that's on the winter solstice. And that's on the winter solstice, so the 20th, 21st, right around there, of December. And they all go in at the winter solstice, and then they will ascend, right, with the sun. Now, that's beautiful. That's a remarkable bit of natural mythology. I just love that. But what happens is that right around Samhain, which is a cross-quarter day, one of the four cross-quarter days, that is the old New Year. It's the end of the harvest season, and then it's the beginning of the new season, the new year. And it's the end of the end of the harvest season, which means nothing more can be taken from the fields. And there were some traditions where nothing could be taken from the woods, which meant no game, no nothing, unless it came right into your, you know, right into your village. Nothing could be taken at all. Nothing. Nothing. Unless, until after the solstice, until the the solstice, the winter solstice, right? But the whole point was, is that everything after Samhain, everything was kind of because they were just wandering. So, Lisa says, was there a cult in the 90s called Heaven's Gate? I think there was. Wasn't that Jim Jones' group? Or was there another one where they all did the same thing? I think it was another group with UFOs. They thought that, yeah, it was another group. It wasn't Jim Jones. They thought that a UFO was going to come down and take them, right? And they did the same thing. They drank the Kool-Aid, proverbially. And there was a movie called Heaven's Gate, I believe, with Tom and Nicole Kidman. What's his name? Well, I'm getting old, you know. Yeah, some of you can visit me at the home, you know. Tom Cruise. That's right. And I think it bombed terribly. But the whole idea, that's an old belief. And call it whatever you want, it really had to do with people getting on the sun and riding the sun up and riding the sun down. What an incredible concept. Do I have that nearby? I don't know if I do or not. I'll show it to you some other time. I have a mala that has on it an ancient Egyptian symbol that shows that rather specifically. Another time. People don't know what it is. They've seen it. They've seen it thousands of times, but they don't know what it means. But it's there. You know, it's there in plain sight. That's the best type of symbol to have. Something in plain sight. It's not to hide it. It's just that other people don't say, oh, I know what that is. Once you see it, you can't unsee it. You say, oh, I know what that is. So, I don't know if all that's true, but it sure kind of makes sense to me. It makes sense to me. Because I can feel it. I can feel the closeness, you know. Why the other fellow would still be around could be because his life was very unsettled. He did not have peace. Not in any way, shape, or form. The fellow I was speaking of earlier, because I called him, because I miss him. We were very close for 55 years. Very close friends. So, but I would imagine things will straighten up. and be just fine. But I refuse to give in and say, you know, I'm going to give in and cede this, just give in and you know, I'm not going to do that. I've dealt with, hello, Renee, welcome to the room. Good to see you. I'm not going to give in. I gave in when I was a kid, and I finally stood my ground and said, I'm not going to give in anymore. I overcame that terror, and it was terror. I mean, I was six, and that was unfair. And it, there was one, I'll tell you the story in a minute. So the idea was that these spirits in the field, they weren't actually hungry, but they were, because they did not understand the fact that they, happy Halloween to you, welcome. They didn't understand the concept of not needing to eat anymore. We all go through that, you know. How many times do we eat without being hungry? We just eat because. I mean, every Kit Kat bar I've ever eaten has been without being hungry. You know what I mean? Have you ever eaten a candy bar because you were... I love these commercials where someone is eating a candy bar because they're out of sorts, because they're hungry. The worst... I don't know. I'm not a doctor or anything, but I wouldn't think that the best thing for you when you're physically hungry is to eat a candy bar, you know, to balance your blood sugar. Come on. I love stuff like that. I'm a baby boomer, as they called us. I prefer love generation, you know. But that's what they raised us on. They raised us on stuff like that, on sugary cereals. And so, but we do that because it's impulsive. Oh, I want to eat something. How does a nice anchovy, onion, and pepperoni pizza sound? It sounds salty, but it sounds good. You know, that's what the mind does. So I think that the whole point was is that they said, well, that's how these people feel too. And so they, and it's a hunger of the mind. It's a missing of the pleasures of that. There's a whole realm of the incubi and the succubi as well. And I think sometimes they were mistaken for humans who were missing another type of hunger, hunger of the flesh. Of a completely different topic. One for another time. One for a more Scorpio discussion, let's say. But so they had villages and people, and this was another fear in ancient Egypt, and that was the fear of the hungry dead. There's an old great ancient Egyptian story about a guy who stops feeding his father's tomb. And so his father just gets up and comes to his house, knocking on the door. And the guy's been dead for a while and says, feed me. I'm hungry. You know, and it's meant as a sort of a, you know, warning, this story. And he comes in and sits down for 2 weeks and sits at his table every day. And then after he eats, and of course, his bottom jaw's missing. So he takes food in, he puts it in his mouth. It just falls right through, you know. And he talks like this, you know, like a pirate, I guess. I don't know. And he just got and he goes from house to house and says, look what my son has done every day. And these people are saying, get him out of here. He's creeping us out. How dare you do this? And so basically it's saying, be a good family member. And this was probably written up, this story, by the local mortuary priests society, you know, to make sure that people gave them money to keep these two, because it was a huge business to, you know, to put food in front of tombs and money in front of to pay for these things. And it was a huge, I'm going to say, racket. You know, I think it really was quite a moneymaker. Quite a moneymaker indeed. Quite in money. But who knows? The ka was always hungry. The ka was part of the body. The ba was the intellect. The ka was that which ate and had desires. And I think pretty much corresponds to the id inside of us. And so it always wanted to eat, and it always wanted to fool around in some form or another. That's paraphrasing. I don't, you know, Egyptologists are going to go, oh, how dare he? You know, that sort of thing. But the idea has to do with there was that concept. So you see a village, and you smell food cooking, and it's right around Samhain, and you're going to go there, and you're going to beg for food. You're going to look in the windows. You're going to say, oh, wow, I remember I used to eat in this house. Those are my family. They'll feed me. I think I'll crawl in through this window, you know, or I'll boom, 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 knock on the door, or whatever the case may be. So they would put out the turnip, you know, the turnip with that face, you know, Stewie. And it might scare you away, or it might say we're humans living here, or it might say that, you know, who knows? Some of the jack-o'-lanterns were too, I mean, now we put jack-o'-lanterns out. Oh, and who was Jack of the Lantern? Well, you've heard of, you know, a Jack of all trades, and you've heard of the Jack Tar, maybe, and you've heard of the minstrel Jack. Well, a Jack was just someone who was good at something. It meant he was like an ace. It meant like he was really good at something, you know. That's just like saying someone was really very good at something. Well, the Jack of the Lantern was this specter sort of guy who had a lantern out on the moors and out on the peat bogs and out in the fields, who would guide all of these spirits to the right spot so that they could ascend once it happened, right? People have conjectured that the Jack of the Lantern might have been swamp gas or gas of rotting vegetation, that sort of thing. Who knows? Who knows, right? I mean, it's lovely stuff, isn't it? Isn't it incredibly lovely stuff? Who knows? Who knows what it's all about? What I do know is that this time of year, the veil grows very thin, and we have nothing to fear from but Hollywood and short stories love to scare the bejesus out of us. They do. They love to scare us. Now, who should we be afraid of? People. People are weird. As Jim Morrison said, people are strange. People are strange. People are very strange. That's the next song I'm going to talk about on my recommendations for trippy songs. I'm eventually going to do other songs too, but that's the next one of those. People are strange, and people do very strange things, and people are strange. Now, my experience with that other side has been rather plentiful, and I can feel those things. I had a friend when I was 19. He died when we were 19. It really beat the crap out of me, to be quite honest. Really did. And he visited me in the dream realm. He explained a lot to me. He said, I can come to you for about 90 days. I can't. I said, you go see your mom? He said, no, I can't do that. It was too hard on her. It would be really disastrous for her. But I can come see you, and I want to see you. I was really hurt. I mean, I was broken up, because we'd been good friends since about sixth grade, when he moved two doors down. And Man, I loved him. He was just he was a goofy guy, and I was a goofy guy, and it was just, he was a neat kid. And, anyway, too young, and I was too young to lose a friend that close, and it just happened. And he came to me, and we talked, and he said, yeah, I can meet you halfway, and so he did. And it was about a few years ago that he came to me, and he was still 19. He was still young, and we talked for a while. And first thing he said was, man, do you look old, you know? And he was just really neat. And I thought, what is this? Is it real, or am I making it up, or what's going on? My dad came to me. After he died, I was a wreck. 30 days. 30 days, I was just crying every night. And then at the end of that time, he actually came to me. It wasn't a terrible dream. It was a beautiful dream, and he set me at ease, and I was okay, you know. Still grieved and all that, but I was okay. It was like, oh, I get it. You're at ease. You're at peace. And there's something. Obviously, my friend, I'm feeling him. There's something. And I don't need to peg it. I'm not trying to make sense out of it. But it's important to me to get across to people that you don't have to fear it. And that all the movies are fun. They're fun. Have fun. But don't fear it, because that's not what it's about, you know? I hate the fact that they want us to fear that side of things. It's fun to get a chill. So let me tell you my stories. 6 years old, we moved into a house in Fort Collins, Colorado, on College Avenue. I'm not going to give the exact address. There's no reason to do that. It's the only house that was torn down in that block of College Avenue, I'll tell you that much, which I found to be quite amazing. All the other houses were old fraternity houses. We were right in the middle of two fraternities, and I was the mascot for the ATO house until they got a dog. They got a black lab, and I was no longer their mascot, which was okay. I was 6, 7 years old when they got the dog, and kind of, you know, I was all right. I loved the dog, though, so it was fine. Sigma Nudes on the other side. Boy, they were rough. They were tough guys. So my mom always wanted to be a city farmer. She never got over it. Never, ever, ever. Ever got over it. Always wanted to be a city farmer. And so my chair just decided to dump me here. Hang on. There we go. So, you know, enough. Really enough. He's a prankster. Unbelievable. Anyway, so God almighty. Enough. I mean, I'm an old man. That would have really been a bad one. I do miss you so much. Anyway, so 6 years old, and she decided to get some baby chicks so that she could have chickens in the backyard and have eggs. Ta-da. So she got baby chicks and decided it would be a great learning experience for moi. So there were the baby chicks in the basement. And it was one of those old basements. This house was probably very close to 100 years old. And the basement was unfinished, putting it mildly. It had a bare light bulb. And I'd had to go downstairs on one of those rickety sets of stairs where someone could reach up and grab you, you know? And clop, 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 clop. And it didn't intrinsically scare me. I didn't like it. But I had to feel my way in the pitch darkness to the bulb and the string hanging from it. And it was just not very pleasant. It had one of those octopus heaters, you know. And I could hear the chicks, and they had one of those tin cans with the light incubators, you know, and so I heard the chick, 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 the squeaking, and I went downstairs, clop, 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 and I felt my way, and I felt a chill like I had never felt before, and a dread like I had never felt before, and I chink, chink, turned it on, and looked over, and there was a man in the basement. And there was a chair, looked like a barber chair. He was wearing a white, one of those white kind of a uniforms that button up the side. It was white, but I thought he was a barber, and kind of gray hair. And he smiled, and he had a gold tooth, and he patted the chair. He didn't say anything. He just patted the chair, and, you know, like, get in. And it's hard to explain what it actually, he wasn't like me. It was like moving. He was constantly, I don't know how to explain it. It was constantly moving. What he was moving. And I shrieked and went up those stairs like Peter Pan, just and screaming, man in the basement, just terrified. And of course, my dad down the stairs, no one there, light bulb swinging, no one there. What happened? What's going on? I described him completely, fully. Complete to the gold tooth. And the whole bit. And that was that. And they took me to the doctor. And the doctor said, your son has an overactive imagination. He thought I was lying. To get out of feeding the chicks. Which I didn't like. They stunk and, you know. But that's not what it was. I saw this thing. And and there was another ghost in the house in a bedroom upstairs where my dad almost fell through putting up an antenna in the attic. And that one screamed at me. I heard it as clearly as day is bright. And it was a screech. I was playing with the old Victrola. That was worth a fortune today, of course, but they were renting the house. They didn't buy it. They were renting, and the owners, who were the nieces of this couple, wanted to sell it to us. And anyway, long story short, screeching, get out, get out, get out. Eventually, and my parents were thinking of buying. I used to sit up at night in my room and just filled with terror. No kid should have to live in a house where you can feel the animosity. That the man, I don't have any idea. There was no animosity. I didn't feel anything. But with the woman, she hated me. She despised me. That was her bedroom, and those were her records and her Victrola. Leave them alone. Leave her house alone. And so eventually what I did, I was in constant terror, constant. I went into the bathroom one day. I was determined to fix it. And I closed the door and turned off the light and stood in there until I wasn't scared anymore. Period. I was terrified, and because she was right next door in her bedroom. But it took about, 10 minutes. And it passed, and that's it. And it has been a lifetime of not feeling in dreams. I've felt it in a couple times in dreams. It's about facing your fears and realizing that she could not hurt me. Absorbing that. But in my dreams, I have felt it, and it's paralyzing. It's weird. I don't know how to explain it. But understand something. It's part of it. Lisa's asked if I could give rituals or practices you can do in honor of Samhain. I might do that next week, since Samhain is still coming up. Yeah, a little something to do, because it's worth celebrating. I think I'll do that next week, since we only have 5 minutes left of the show. But I just really wanted to get that done. By the way, what happened was my parents were going to buy the place, so they got permission to store some things in the garage. Boom, cut the lock on the garage, which was really a carriage house, went into the carriage house. I was looking around there with my dad, and there was a picture of a man. I said, that's the guy. And I said, and that's the chair. He looked at the picture of the guy. He said, yeah, that's exactly what you described. The chair was a dentist chair, boxes of teeth that he had pulled. And he realized, he said, let's not talk about this to your mother. And because I think he kind of wanted to buy the house because it was real close to campus where he taught. And then a little while later, after she had my brother, one day we heard a scream from the crib, and we went there, and there was a rat sitting on his chest. And the rat looked at us and hissed and ran away, and it scratched him on the face. And they called an exterminator. The exterminator came and said, there are no rodents in this house. We moved within a week. All my fears had, you know, nothing to do with it. So there is something. That's a pretty good Halloween tale, you know. But the whole point of it is that we really, other than the rat, is that there's really nothing to fear. And that house is the only house on the block that got torn down. I'll bet to this day, it's still the only house on the block that was torn down. I was so surprised when I went back years later and it was gone, because I wanted to see it again. I wanted to go in and say, knock, knock, knock. And in 1961 and 62, I lived in this house. 61, 62, I lived in this house. Could I look around? See if they would let me in, but it was completely gone. It had been replaced by a very ugly white cement building, you know. So don't fear these things. Nothing to fear. And don't fear the presences that you feel. And don't give in to them, you know, even if they do things to your chair or whatever. Maybe it's probably just a prank. Okay? The good news is we are here now. And we're here as long as we're going to be. And we have to take care of ourselves. That's the most important part. We need to take care of ourselves. And don't let people bully you. Don't let the living or the past bully you. We are here for a reason, I think. And it's up to us to maintain that concept. It's up to us to maintain that strength. There is a power within us. We're here now. And we do our thing, right? I like to think so. Yeah, next week I will give you a little... I used to do guided meditations and all sorts of things. But I think it's good to, if you want something for Samhain, if you want to really learn something, look at Dia de los Muertos. That's a good one. My wife and I went to a Mexican restaurant yesterday, and they had the ofrero, I think that's what it's called, the offering table right in front. And I was so moved, to hear pictures of loved ones on this table, and, you know, a bottle of beer and cigarettes and whatever. And I was just so very moved by that and how beautiful that is. And this time of year, when the veil is thin, it makes sense. Why not surround ourselves? I have on the wall over here a picture of my father at a microscope, and a picture of me with my dad, and a painting that he drew, that he painted when he was young, and a picture that he and I drew together it's there, and here's something my mother gave me, and I have a mala right here that my mother gave me. You know? Picture my friend. Gather those people around you, and they don't have to be there for real, you know? But we are the conglomerate of everything that has come before us, our ancestors. I used to have my grandfather's fez, or someone's fez, but it didn't last. The different climate that I'm in, it didn't make it. All right, that's enough. That's enough. Have a happy Halloween. Have a happy, happy Halloween. And enjoy your Kit Kats and your Baby Ruths and your Snickers and all that. I love you. This is a remarkable ride we're on, this life of ours. It's very important. It's beautiful. Let's make the very best of it, shall we? All right. All right. Until next week, I wish you all peace and love. And I will talk to you later. Okay? Take care. Bye.
Until next we meet, I'll be waiting for you right here in the Paisley Penny Arcade.